Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me today. This is your host, Brother T, and we're on tour of the workbook lessons, the Course in Miracles workbook lessons. Today is the 18th of January, and we are working on lesson 18. So if you're new to this, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. There are other episodes that are already in the can, so to speak, here on Blog Talk Radio that you can go back and listen to the prior lessons if you'd like to. But my general assumption is that most people are listening in, if it's the first time, that they might even be new to A Course in Miracles. And I really appreciate you being here, but you might go back and just kind of start with lesson one, or go back and, you know, take your time with it. But either way, I certainly appreciate you being here. The instruction from our brother Jesus, and yes, this is a textbook that was scribed by Helen Schachman as he was channeling through her to communicate this profound teaching to us. But his instruction was, if it's the first time you've gone through the workbook lessons, that you just do one lesson a day. Because of that, I don't suggest that you try to do catch up if you're just kind of getting started. That's okay. Go back and just start with lesson one and work your way through slowly and let the lessons do what the lessons do. I'm here really just to help facilitate and maybe answer some questions. I had lots of questions when I first began, but this is a course study that is really, the book is the teacher. And I'm here just to kind of facilitate that process and to share some of the things that I've learned from Jesus as he's been teaching this through other people, and as it has been taught to me and the other mentors that I've had over the years, the many years of not only teaching the course, but being mentored in understanding the course. And ultimately, we get in touch with our guidance system, which also helps us to see the information that's here in a new way. And it is a profound teaching, and it can create, you know, tremendous resistance as well. So for those reasons, I just suggest that you kind of follow his advice. If this is new for you, go back and pick up on lesson one and start there. So I appreciate you, however, being here. And I want to say hello and welcome to the Mighty Companions, all of those who are listening in on a regular basis to this episode here on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to go to Blog Talk Radio and search, and you're looking to try to find our station, just go to the best hour, do a search for the best hour. And you'll see my little logo there, the BT, which stands for Brother T, and it kind of stands out on the page. And we're way up in the, if you do a search for the best hour, we're you should find us on the first page of that search, just past the ads, on blogtalkradio.com. Also, if you would like to follow along to some other things that we're doing, I do teach the textbook, and we are doing that once a week on Thursday evenings. You can follow along on a live YouTube streaming. And you can catch me there at truemindshift.com, T-R-U-E, mind, M-I-N-D, shift, S-H-I-F-T.com. And I'll start putting that address in the description of the episodes here on Blog Talk Radio and also on my Facebook channel, facebook.com/course mastery. So again, thanks so much for joining us today. So let's just jump in. Lesson 18, I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my seeing, and that's why that's important. So let's just start here, the first sentence, first paragraph. The idea for today is another step in learning that the thoughts which give rise to what you see are never neutral or unimportant. It also emphasizes the idea that minds are joined, which will be given increasing stress later. All of our minds are joined. There is a principle in this teaching that says no private thoughts. When I met my wife a few years ago, and she came to my house for the first time to visit, I told her, because I had been studying the Course in Miracles for several years, and I said, okay, well, there are basically two tenets, you know, in my home here, and it's real simple. One is no people pleasing, Okay, because when you're trying to please people, what you're really trying to do is manipulate them. So no people pleasing. I don't want to be manipulated, right? And I'll try not to manipulate you. And then two is no private thoughts. And what that points to is what we just read, right? This emphasizes the idea that minds are joined, which will be given increasing stress later. No private thoughts. We really believe, the ego believes, that it can have private thoughts and that the other person or persons don't really realize what we're thinking. But we've been discovering things, right? We've been discovering that thoughts are things. I see no neutral things. Why? Because I have no neutral thoughts. Why? Because my thoughts are images which I have made. Thoughts are things. Thoughts are creative in the sense that they hold a vibration, and that vibration, like dropping a rock into a calm, clear pool, you drop a rock or throw a rock in there and it sets up a frequency of waves. You can see them ripple across and it affects the entire pool. The entire pool feels the effect and it ripples all the way through all of it. And we can see it on the surface of the pool as these waves that roll out. And then what happens, right? They bounce right back. Come right back to you. That's what our thoughts are doing. Thoughts are things. And they have this creative energy. And I like to think of it in terms that they are almost like magnets. In other words, it creates a magnetic force. And the field of magnetic attraction ripples out. And it attracts back to itself the things that are in alignment, that are in resonance with that vibration. So now we're familiar with a lot of this, right? I mean, we have these wonderful personal experiences of the world, which is really our laboratory, right? Our classroom. It's teaching us about ourselves. It's reflecting our consciousness. It was described to me one time as that we are literally walking through our consciousness in this world. Much like the dreams that we had last night, right? Whenever we go into a dream, we are creating images, right? So lesson 16 said, my thoughts are images which I have made. And we can definitely relate to that when we think about the dreams we have at night. We drift off into imagery. We drift off into the images of our mind that are flashing. So our eyes close, the body eyes close, but our vision doesn't stop. We continue to see. We continue to see a whole new world, really. And sometimes we can do it in the middle of the day. We daydream with our eyes wide open, right? We can get so wrapped up in a movie that somebody can talk to us and we're so involved in the script. We've inserted ourselves into the script of the movie to such a degree that, you know, we're not even listening if somebody's saying our name. We're daydreaming. We're off in, you know, in dreamland, really. Seeing a parade of images. Thoughts are images, right? My thoughts are images which I have made. So I'm not alone. Because the mind that God has created is the mind created in relationship. We are entities. We are extensions. We are beings. We are ideas of love in the mind of God. And we are all in that mind together. And so sometimes people say, well, how can that be? I mean, I can't seem to see that, right? I can't seem to devise an image that can help me to grasp what that would be. How could we all be of one mind? So I'll give you an example, because the body mind, the ego mind, has to follow the same principles, okay? I mean, the same construct, if you will, the same structure. So let's think about our individual self for a minute. And so there, we could say, are many, many aspects of you. There are many aspects of you. So let's start with one that we're all familiar with. I would call that the controller. So if I ask to speak to the controller, you know exactly who I'm talking about, don't you? Sure you do. That's an aspect of yourself, of your ego mind, of your mind. You say, okay, that I am. This is just me. I'm me. We don't have to give it a label or call it the ego. We're just going to say you, the personality self, you. There is an aspect of you that is a controller. Have you ever been upset when somebody didn't something, a situation, or somebody didn't act in a way that you felt like you had control of that situation, and somebody acted outside of the parameters of control that you had established as what was necessary and expected for you to be what? Safe and comfortable. And the controller immediately comes to the fore, right? And sometimes I will give that aspect of myself a voice. And so we have a little exercise that we do, okay? And it's a workshop, actually. And I'll take people through these different aspects of their personality self. And it's very revealing. But I'll share another one with you. Let's say that there's another one, and I'm going to call this aspect of you to come forth, and I would say, okay, I would like to speak to the skeptic. Well, I know that immediately you know exactly who I'm talking about. Is it you? Yes. But is it almost like a separate you? Yeah, kind of. It has its own way of presenting itself, of expressing itself. It's still right in there with the controller. So the controller and the skeptic are hearing this conversation right now, yes? But the skeptic might be coming to the fore. The skeptic might be going, well, I don't think I get that. I don't think this is healthy. I don't think this is safe. I mean, why would Jesus be channeling through some woman like Helen Schachman? I mean, Jesus was here 2,000 years ago and you know, in the crucifixion, and that was his thing and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, really? Now, are we really? All right, hopefully I'm not insulting anyone, but would we be naive to the point that we would believe that here is a person or an entity, a God self, a spirit, someone just like us, or even if we say, as the church has wanted us to believe, was a God and someone had reached a status that we could not achieve or reach, that we were underneath that we were lower than that, if you will, in the eyes of God, that this one had the ability to manifest things instantaneously out of thin air, right? The story of the loaves and the fishes. Or, defy gravity, you know, walk on water. It was said that he would appear in various different places. In other words, he could just appear wherever he wanted to after the crucifixion. And some have said even before that. And after the crucifixion, the apparent, you know, destruction of the body, he reappeared and he was communicating with his disciples and with his others. I'll just leave it at that. So would we think that a God, if you want to call him that, or a spirit form or a brother or whatever, however you might see that one, that was it? He went off after that and never to be heard from again? No. Didn't he even tell his disciples that I will always be with you? He's been telling us for 2,000 years. He taught his disciples that before that crucifixion episode or whatever. The point is, would we believe that we cannot be reached because we're too modern? Or maybe too stubborn? Or no, we have to go through the church, that Jesus would have to go through the church to reach us, through some lofty minister or pastor or some bishop or whatever, which is what the church has wanted us to believe, that we needed an intermediary between us and Jesus. Okay, so the skeptic might be going, okay, this is too much for me. I don't believe that. I mean, I kind of believe what I've been taught, and I believe what I've been told, and I feel comfortable. I feel safe in that belief. It was given to me, by the way, from somebody that loved me, somebody that was really caring, and I respect that the authority at the front of the room is standing at the pulpit. Fine. There's no hurry. There's no worry. You can withdraw from the conversation. But the simple point is that there's no private thoughts. If Jesus were going to communicate with you, and let's just say you were praying to Jesus, or, you know, millions and millions and millions of people pray to Jesus every day. Millions and millions and millions. If there's not a connection in mind, then how could their prayers be heard? How could your prayers be heard? And so we accept it on at least a fundamental level, I believe, by and large. And that's what he's pointing to here, is that our minds can never be private or separate. That's the illusion, because God created us in a relationship. So you have to forgive God now, right? You got to forgive God for creating you in relationship, because you can never truly be alone. And there is an aspect of you, like the skeptic and the controller, are aspects of the ego self that you've kind of created or made up, if you will. There is an aspect of your higher self that we could say is always in touch with you, always watching and knowing every thought you have. You have no private thoughts. So I guess I'm stressing that a little bit here this morning in our conversation, because this is a short lesson as far as the reading is concerned. It doesn't even hardly fill up half a page. But the conversation that I'm sharing with you today is, well, for those of you that have probably been through this a few times, and maybe you've already read the textbooks once or twice, and you're really getting into it. What is the deeper foundational understanding and meaning of A Course in Miracles? Because that deeper understanding of foundational principles of A Course in Miracles is what's changed my life, what brings me tremendous joy and peace in the event, and there's always events, of calamity that go on in our lives. It's just no way around it. When I look around, and even in my own family recently, we had some new births and we've had some death. The experience of death of loved ones, the experience of death of favored, you know, animals and pets, and you know, we experiencing all these comings and goings of things that are temporal. But we're able to join together and have conversations as separated selves, or the appearance of separated selves. But I know that you and I have all had these experiences where somebody comes to mind, and next thing you know, almost immediately the phone rings, and there they are. So we all have had these experiences of joined mind. We just kind of disregard it for the most part, because we're busy living our lives, and that's okay. We're busy living our lives, and that's okay. No hurry, no worry. But I'm not alone. I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of the way I see things, and you're not alone in experiencing the way and the effects of the way you see things. We could call that your belief structure, your belief system. The idea for today is another step in learning that the thoughts which give rise to what you see are never neutral or unimportant, and that minds are joined. Today's idea does not refer to what you see as much as to how you see it. So we could say that is perception, your perception of the world, your perception of what's going on in the world. And where's the world? The world is your world. Your world is what's around you, what's in contact to you. What have you sent out vibrationally with the thoughts that you hold about likes and dislikes, cares and concerns, right? Fears, all the emotions that go into and add energy to the thoughts that you hold. We could say like that's just picking up a bigger rock, making a bigger wave, so to speak. And yes, it has more power as it goes out and brings back to you as an experience the things that are in alignment, in resonance with those vibrations. Fear begets fear. That's what that means. That's how it works. So we're not referring so much to what you're seeing with the physical eyes as we are to how you see it. Therefore, the exercises for today, which emphasize this aspect of your perception, the 3 or 4 practice periods which are recommended, should be done as follows. Selecting subjects for the application of this of the idea randomly, look at each one long enough to simply say this, right? I am not alone in experiencing the effects of how I see whatever this is, blank. I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of how I see whatever, fill in the blank with, right? Have you ever been in, joined in with a group of people who have a certain perception, a campaign, an agenda, and you, as far as you're concerned, it kind of aligns and it kind of agrees with your thinking of the way you quote unquote see the world, your seeing of a situation of the world or whatever. And do you notice, have you noticed how more and more people aligning with that way of seeing something creates this massive energy? This is January 18th of year 2020. We're in the United States today, or I'm in the United States today, at this moment when I'm sharing this conversation with you. And in our country today, there is tremendous turmoil. Tremendous turmoil. We're seeing groups of people who have partitioned themselves off and or positioning themselves against each other in our political structures. We're seeing it in our religious structures. We're seeing it within our religious communities, our ministerial communities, our spiritual communities. We're seeing it in our neighborhoods. This is pretty bizarre that it's almost like it's coming to a crescendo of people taking sides, adopting some positionality of I'm right, you're wrong. Guess what? The ego always wants to be right. And when the ego can get other people to agree with its positionality, it feels emboldened to act out against those who disagree. And when that rises to bigger and bigger levels, sometimes the ego displays itself as what it really is, the operating parameters that it exists within. And I'll share that with you, and it's what we find and discover here in the Course in Miracles. The ego operates between suspicious and vicious. So when I say, let me speak to the skeptic, you think the skeptic is that one part of you, an aspect of you that is within you that is a little bit suspicious? You betcha, right? But the skeptic and the controller and all of the other aspects of you, and trust me, there are many other aspects of you, they are all a part of you as one mind. Are there any private thoughts between the controller and the skeptic going on in there? No. But when the skeptic comes to the fore, when you give it expression, it literally has its own personality. It becomes a self that expresses through you. And there's a blessing in that because it points to the truth that there's also an aspect of you that can come to the fore, that you can allow to rise to the fore and give voice to be expressed through you. And that would be, hello, the voice of love, your true self. We're connecting some dots here, right? We're beginning to grasp that there's much more to seeing than what the eyes can see. We can also see with the heart. We can get in touch with that aspect of ourselves and the world that we express to and outwardly sharing that aspect of ourselves with sees a whole different you. No more positionalities, no more caring about those such things like that, right or wrong. Love doesn't have to be right or wrong. It's truth. It's real. It doesn't need to defend itself. Man, we got some great stuff to have conversations about this year because we're learning about ourselves. This is a study of you. You studying you. I am not alone in experiencing the effects of how I see the world, whatever you want to put in there. And conclude the practice period by repeating the more general statement, I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my seeing. We could add, there's no private thoughts. A minute or so, or even less, will be sufficient. That's our lesson for today, my friends. To look out upon the world and begin to notice that our thoughts, our energy, the vibration we're holding that is in resonance with the thoughts that we are holding affects other people. And their vibration affects you. Someone walks in the room that's really angry, you can feel it. Someone walks in the room that's really excited and joyful and giddy, you might not like it, but you can feel it. No, you might want to be real serious and how dare them have so much fun when your stuff isn't working for you. Whatever. I would say let go of your stuff and join in with them. You ever go to a party and just have a good time and everybody's just dancing around? All of a sudden the energy changes and nobody really can get too crazy or too serious, right? Because the energy of love and joy and dancing and playing is amazing. And we can all let the concerns and cares for the world go for a little while and get up and dance and jump around with the music and have some fun. And Spirit's right there with us the whole time. Right there with us the whole time. I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my seeing. And you're not alone in experiencing the effects of your seeing. And you and I are brothers and sisters in God. And we have something important to share with the world. And I would say that is love. I would say that is the experience of recognizing the world is not all that it thinks it is. And we don't have to buy that. We don't have to buy into it. We don't have to buy that today. I love you, brothers and sisters. Thank you for being with me today. Thank you for being with me yesterday. I apologize for the technical stuff yesterday, but today I know that it's better. And I know you can hear me. And I'm going to continue to work with you as you're continuing to work with me. I'm here because you're here, and we're all here because our brothers.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created, and which you love. Amen.
I send my love.